Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Talk Live, Journeys into Mind, Heart, and Soul. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, inviting you to come on the journey, join in the quest. Spirit Talk Live is our monthly forum for exploring the great questions of existence, for joining in the quest to find meaning and worth in life through intellectual inquiry and sacred spirit. It is a worldwide conversation for spiritual seekers and rational empiricists, for people of all religions and of no religion, of all faith and of no faith, because here on Spirit Talk Live, nothing is sacred and everything is sacred. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome to this month's edition of Spirit Talk Live, a very exciting show for you today. Before we begin, let me remind you, please, of my newest book, Radical Loving, One God, One World, One People, which is a compelling appraisal of the state of our present-day world, and a bold, visionary, spirit-filled blueprint for its transformation and evolution through radical loving and awesome holiness. It is a call to oneness, a promise that Earth can be Eden once again. It's available on Amazon and on BarnesandNoble.com and anywhere you buy books. With all due humility, it won first place, 2 international book awards, and in my humble opinion, if people read this book, particularly in the places where there is such pain and suffering right now, the world could be and would be a better place. And speaking of pain and suffering, we are deeply concerned when all people suffer and are in pain, but we Jews are particularly concerned about our brothers and sisters in the household of Israel, in the land of Israel, who were brutally attacked, monstrously attacked, where babies' heads were cut off and babies were thrown in ovens to die, and women were raped and husbands were killed in front of their eyes. And so we pray for peace. We work for peace. We send our love and our support to our soldiers who are protecting our land and to their families who wait them at home. So if you are a praying person, I ask you to pray for peace. And if you are a peace-loving person, I ask you to understand some of the dynamics, although we can't understand all the dynamics, we're not there, but some of the dynamics of what is there, know who's the good guy, know who's the bad guy, and support the people and the land of Israel. So today, my friends, I'm thrilled to welcome one of my dear, dear friends to the program, Rabbi Eli Spitz, along with our dear friend Rabbi Jack Reamer, have written a new book called Duets on Psalms. And I'm going to ask the Rabbi Spitz to introduce himself and Rabbi Reamer. But this book has, and you know, we these endorsement blurbs that we all get and give, the all-stars of the Jewish world and the spiritual world are in this book. Rabbi Brad Artson of the Ziegler School of Rabbinic Studies, Rabbi Naomi Levy, Pastor Rick Warren, the late and much lamented and much beloved Rabbi David Ellison, Chancellor Emeritus of the Hebrew Union College, Rabbi Joseph Toluskin, Peter Pitzula, Stuart Matlins, Rabbi David Wolpe, Dr. Ron Wilson, Rabbi Josh Warshawski, Daniel Matt, the great translator of the Zohar, Sylvia Borstein, Shmuley Yankowitz, Craig Taubman, and me, the all-stars of the Jewish world. Here's what I said about this book. Sing unto God a new song. Rabbis Jack Reamer and Ellie Smith, who are spiritual guides with the souls of poets, do just that as they bring the poetry of the biblical psalmist of old to our modern sensibilities. Their wise, insightful, interpretive commentary makes psalms come alive and enter into our hearts, touching our deepest yearnings and greatest joys. God is smiling and singing along. That's how good this book is. Rabbi Spitz is a dear, dear friend. When I was so sick 2 years ago for the high holidays, in a second, he volunteered to come and take my pulpit for me so that my congregation would not be without a rabbi for the high holidays. And Rabbi Reamer is a friend of, well, both of them, friends for well more than 30 years. Rabbi Reamer, a great teacher, a great mentor, actually a successor of mine in a synagogue in La Jolla. They went from the young and stupid to the old wise rabbi. But the two of them got together, even though Rabbi Spitz lives in California and Rabbi Reamer lives in Florida, they came together to write a book. So we have with us today Rabbi Spitz, the author, co-author with Rabbi Jack Reamer, of Duets on Psalms, Drawing New Meaning from Ancient Words. And so, welcome again, because he's been here previously with some of his other books. We welcome to Spirit Talk Live Rabbi Ellie Spitz. Rabbi Spitz, welcome.
Thank you, Wayne. Rabbi Dasik, it is always smile-evoking when I sit with you, and the smile is a reflection of the goodness of your company and the good fortune I have, as you note, of being friends for a long time. So to be in a public conversation is a wonderful way for me to spend my time, to start my day, and I thank you for the blurb and for all your own writing, which I have so valued.
Oh, thank you so much. Tell us a little bit about you and your career, and then tell us a little bit about Rabbi Jack Reamer and his career.
So I have the good fortune of being Rabbi Emeritus after close to 34 years with the only congregation that I served as its full-time rabbi here in Tustin, California, at the center of Orange County. And my friend, Rabbi Jack Reamer, is now over 94, and as he noted, lives in Boca. And for me, as throughout those years of 100 sermons a year, was a major resource for teaching and preaching, in that throughout Rabbi Reamer's adulthood, he has written at least a sermon a week that he has shared with colleagues, and is probably the most quoted contemporary for non-Orthodox rabbis, in that he not only has written a lot, but more, he brings a sensibility of humor combined with wisdom and great learnedness to his teaching and preaching. And for me, receiving Duets on Psalms and seeing that it was a partnership with Rabbi Reamer, my teacher and friend, was so happy-making. I'll add that a word about how the book evolved. During COVID, I began and completed the teaching of 150 of the Psalms, the entirety of the book, with a half hour per Psalm. And because it was on Zoom, people far and wide joined that class, and among them was Rabbi Reamer from Florida. And seeing him on the screen 3 days a week, which was my teaching pace, raised the bar for me. I knew, which is my nature, I had to do research in depth, and I was always so honored to see him. And when he finished with me the going through the Book of Psalms. He then taught by Zoom in his own community a handful, which for him meant also writing out fully his presentations. And his wife, Sue, said, "You and Ellie are of different generations. You have a different voice. You should write a book together." And he said, "Sue, I'll do it for you." And when I heard of this idea, I thought, it's a great idea. And Rabbi Reamer wrote the dedication to his wife even before he began writing in earnest. And so all the more writing duets on Psalms, drawing new meaning from ancient words, was a source of great rejoicing for both of us. I'll add one other thought, and that is what's distinctive about this book. It's written by pulpit rabbis, which is to say, when we read sacred texts, we're always with one eye on honoring the text in its own context, its own detailed understanding of how the artistry of, in this case, Psalms was composed, with ambiguity and word plays and structure. And at the same time, as pulpit rabbis, we're always asking, how is this relevant for us in our day, these ancient words? And so each of the 13 Psalms, favorite Psalms of ours that we address, we do so with bifocal, looking at arm's length, what's the nature of the artistry of the composition as poetry, as song, and secondly, how do those phrases or the overall theme touch us deeply? And we hope and find satisfaction in our readers saying that they, through this book, have also fallen in love with Psalms.
So for those, Rabbi Spitz, Rabbi Eli Spitz of Duets on Psalms, co-authored with Rabbi Jack Reamer, drawing new meaning from ancient words, published by Ben Yehuda Press, a fairly new press in the Jewish world, maybe the last 10, 15 years or so, publishing some very important books. For those who might not be familiar with Psalms and where they are found and what they're general about, tell us, what are Psalms?
Psalms are prayers, poems, letters to God. There are 150 of these compositions, ranging from 2 verses to 121 verses, and they are in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, in the what's called the Latter Writings. And these conversations with God are an integral part of both Jewish and Christian prayer. Everybody has heard Psalms. So at a funeral, one is often reciting Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And they permeate culture. So like the word hallelujah, think of Leonard Cohen's song, hallelujah, is a word from Psalms that concludes the last 5 Psalms. Praise be God. In Hebrew, the word for Psalms is tehillah or tehillim, which means words of praise. Although at the same time, the Psalms as conversations with God encompass the whole range of human emotions, which is why they continue to be deeply personal and honest for anybody reading them to our own day. And so in sum, these 150 compositions, often in ancient times, meaning the time of the temple in Jerusalem, were sung with choir and orchestra, and they continue largely to be presented in song in our synagogue and churches.
And so, 2 rabbis, both brilliant, both incredibly successful pulpit careers, both authors of a number of books. You've written three or four books before this. Rabbi Reamer's written a number of books before this, probably his most famous about writing ethical wills. But there's about a 30-year difference, 25, 30-year difference in your ages. Did that manifest itself as you were writing together and separately?
There is about a 25-year gap between us, which is kind of a generational. Rabbi Reamer, when I became a rabbi, you know, that already meant that he was a rabbi for a quarter of a century and well established. In terms of generational differences, I think there is naturally a different sensitivity, so that he, Rabbi Reamer, is of a generation that experienced the Holocaust, the creation of the State of Israel, and the emphasis for Jews on social justice and finding a place in America. I'm fortunate to be born after those events, though those two shape me, but in a little different way. And perhaps I'm of the generation that seeks spiritual meaning in the immediacy. So, for instance, in my own religious practice, I not only begin my day with prayer, but also with meditation, influenced in significant part by the Buddhist tradition. That kind of spirituality that defines each of us is nuanced differently because of the times in which we grew. David Ellenson, who you noted in the introduction, that great teacher of our community who recently passed away, said that theology is autobiography. And no doubt the different experiences that correlate with the ages in which we have grown and lived have influenced our orientation.
But even a few years difference between you and me, I grew up in totally the golden age of Judaism in America, and you caught the tail end of it in the late 50s, early 60s. That too brings a different outlook on life and a different outlook in how we grasp the biblical teachings. Let me go back for just a second. You said that part of your daily spiritual practice is meditation out of the Buddhist tradition. Does your congregation know?
Yeah, they do. I would say informed by the Buddhist tradition, though at the same time, it's deeply Jewish, and it has been part of the Jewish tradition as well. So already in the writing of the Mishnah, the conversations by the early rabbis of Israel codified in the year roughly 200, they will say that the early pious ones would, for 1 hour, prepare themselves before reciting the tefillah, the standing prayer. And that's widely understood, that they too would quiet the mind for 1 hour, that they would prepare themselves. But as Judaism and Christianity unfolded, they so relied on psalms in particular and prayer to relate to God. The notion of stilling the mind and being in silence is something that was much more an emphasis of Buddhism. And when I say influenced by Buddhism, it's in terms of technique, not in terms necessarily of content. And in that sense, Judaism also has a rich tradition of meditation. One last word in that regard, and that's the great teacher Moses Maimonides, 1135 to 1204, Spain and Egypt, with a touch in Israel, would say that when the Jews were coming out of Egypt, the only way people worshiped God in the ancient world was with the bringing of gifts to God, namely sacrifices. And so much of the Bible, one out of three pages, now I'm adding this, one out of three pages of the five books of Moses focuses on how to draw close to God through offerings. And literally in Hebrew, karban, an offering, means to draw close. But those are physical gifts. And he said, again, writing in the 12th century, that in my day, to say to people, draw close to God, but don't use words, people wouldn't know how to act. And what he was suggesting is, and did say more explicitly, that ultimately the experience of God is done in silence. It's done in that inner connection one feels with a greater presence. And we are trained in our respective monotheistic religions to use words, but meditation or stillness within is part of the human experience, encountering the divine.
It reminds me, Rabbi, of the story of the Hasidic rabbi who got to the synagogue early, early, every day before the prayers, and the Hasidim kept coming earlier and earlier to see if they could beat the rabbi to get to the synagogue earlier than he got there, but he was always there first, and finally they said to him, why do you come so early? And he said, I'm praying that I'll be able to pray.
Yes.
So we're here with Rabbi Elie Spitz, co-author with Rabbi Jack Reamer of Duets on Psalms, drawing new meaning from ancient words. We'll come back and ask Rabbi Spitz how he and Rabbi Reamer decided to break up and share the teachings in this book, and I'll bring you my absolute awe and admiration at the depth of their knowledge and their teachings throughout not just Jewish literature, but throughout secular literature and history of the world. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, along with Rabbi Elie Spitz. We'll be back after these messages, as always, inviting you to come on the journey, join in the quest.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
When you're looking for bedding, department store prices can shock you. Well, be shocked no more. Sell steak cheap, not cheap steak. That's the motto of Anna's Linens. Although they don't sell steak, they do sell the best bedding, bath, and home decor items. They strive to provide their merchandise at extreme value to their customers, and they do it. Great everyday prices on everything and military discounts. Plus, if you visit them online, they have clearance items and internet specials. Visit them online now at HealthyLife.net's advertiser page.
Save the Animals Today offers a respectable retirement and end-of-life experience for all the horses that have been abandoned as they age. Not a day goes by that people don't call Save the Animals Today looking for a place for their horses. Patty and the folks at Save the Animals Today do their best to bring as many horses as they possibly can to beautiful Dudette Ranch to love them and care for them. Dudette Ranch is a special place. Horses and other farm animals enjoy the peaceful sanctuary of the lovely hills north of San Diego. Volunteers of all ages come to interact with and take care of these wonderful creatures. Older folks who had horses when they were growing up and now have some free time especially enjoy helping around the barn with animals who want the extra attention. Save the Animals Today would like to provide shelter for every farm animal who needs rescue. Right now, there's a waiting list. Dudette Ranch needs your help. The horses need your help. You can help these magnificent animals by making a tax-deductible donation to Save the Animals Today. $25 will make a difference, and $25 a month will mean another older horse will enjoy its older years, loved and cared for. If you want to help even more, visit the website at www.savetheanimalstoday.org.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
This is Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dasik, along with Rabbi Eli Spitz of Tustin, California. He and Rabbi Jack Reamer of Boca Raton, Florida, the co-authors of Duets on Psalms, Drawing New Meaning from Ancient Words. So, Rabbi Spitz, as a writer, I'm interested in the format of this book. You have 13 psalms. How did you choose those 13?
So, to a great degree, these are favorite psalms of Rabbi Reamer and myself. When I taught the 150 psalms by Zoom, which are still available on YouTube, if people put in Eli Spitz psalms, they'll have access to all those 150 plus teachings. I deeply researched each of the 150 psalms, and then Rabbi Reamer and I, when we began to write, largely picked psalms that were dear to our heart and of which we felt we had something creative to say. And so each of these psalms, some of them are familiar, like Psalm 23 or Psalm 145, widely read. Others were more obscure. And we wanted kind of an overview of the key themes in Psalms.
And so how did you choose how to write? It's very interesting. When I first saw the book, Duets on Psalms, I had assumed, foolishly, that it would be sort of a dialogue back and forth. You would write something and Rabbi Reamer would write something, or Reamer would write something and you would respond to it. But no, that's not the case. The case is that one of you explicates the psalms, which you call closely drawing into singing. That's mostly you. And then you write an essay. And sometimes you write two or three or four before we hear Rabbi Reamer's voice, or vice versa. So it's not a dialogue in that sense. It is you speaking in your voice one, two, three times, and then Rabbi Reamer doing the same. How did you choose that kind of format?
I think it's due in part to the fact that the two of us are teachers and preachers, and when we looked at a psalm, take Psalm 1, we each had our respective way of finding meaning in that psalm. And so, as you say, the analysis is of two kinds. One, which in Hebrew would be pshat, which is kind of the arm's length looking at a text, is the attempt to unpack and share the artistry of the psalmist in composing Psalm 1. And then the question becomes, how is this meaningful to us? And we each would write little reactions to how that psalm is meaningful. And in some parts, that could be reacting to each other. So take Psalm 1. I write about how this is a blueprint for the pursuit of happiness, and that the pursuit of happiness for the psalmist hinges on the kind of company that we keep, what we put our attention on in terms of study, and loyalty ultimately to the source of life, to God. And Rabbi Reamer then reacts on some level and says, in his first essay, but is it true? Is it true that if you are obedient and follow God's ways, that you are in fact happy? And he will bring us a poem by post-Holocaust writer David Curzon, in which perpetrators of the Holocaust seem to get away with it. And he'll wrestle a bit with this question of faith and how much indeed faith and the prescription of Psalm 1 really does lead to happiness. And so in that sense, there is an element of reacting to each other, but in our own distinctive ways, seeking meaning and a way to relate to these ancient words.
Now, most people will say the Psalms are the Psalms of King David. That King David wrote these Psalms. The Hebrew often means Morla David, a Song of David, Tehillah le David. And I would say that Christianity, if you just ask the average churchgoer, would say, oh yes, King David wrote the Psalms in the Bible. But that's not possible, is it?
It's not possible in the following way. First of all, there's a heading to many of the Psalms, and those headings most often cite King David, but there are fully 10 different authors. So even Moses is given a psalm, Asaph, an important Levite, children of Korah. So there are many authors, but more than that, some of the psalms, one of the psalms, for instance, that we analyze is Psalm 137. That's well known in reggae circles. By the rivers of Babylon, there I sat and wept. That deals with the exile of the people from the land of Israel in the year 586 to Babylon. And so that is a good 600 years or so after the life of King David. In that sense, the content of the psalm, its historical setting, are long, long past the life of David. So when a psalm says, Mizmor le David, a song for David, we know David is a writer of songs, a player of the little harp, the lyre. We get that from the book of Samuel, the prophet who appointed David as king. So we know he's a singer, and some of the psalms may indeed be as ancient as David, which is roughly 1,000 before the Common Era. But he becomes the paragon, the prototype, the model of one who seeks with song to connect to God, the writer of prayers. And so when it says, Mizmor le David, a psalm for David, it can either meaning by David, but it can and most often means a song of the kind that David is famous for, a psalm to God.
Certainly, your example of by the rivers of Babylon is perfect. The Chanukah Tabayit, the dedication of the temple, well, we know very well King David was not allowed to build the temple, not the first nor the second. So, when we come back, I want to ask Rabbi Spitz about how we and how his explanation is the historicity, how we are modern scholars who look at the entire text and how that is challenged by the traditional Orthodox world who says, no, 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 this is the exact word of God, or this is the exact word of King David. We'll talk about how we look at Bible in when we come back with Rabbi Eli Spitz, who is the co-author with Rabbi Jack Reamer of Duets on Psalms, Drawing New Meaning from Ancient Words, published by Ben Yehuda Press, a fascinating discussion of antiquity and modernity. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. We'll be back after these messages.
In sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
In 1972, Sur La Table opened in Seattle, selling hard-to-find kitchen items, and now they have 55 stores nationwide, offering kitchen tools from around the world to prepare any cuisine. Sur La Table has a full range of houseware and kitchen products, even books and food. Visit a Sur La Table store, or better yet, for faster service, go to thehealthylife.net's advertiser page and click on Sur La Table. With the best products, gift cards, and sale items, you can be on your way to being a first-class cook right now.
Do you wonder what is happening in our world? Do you wonder what the forces of the universe are doing to us? Is your life affected by the ebb and flow of events over which you seem to have little control? The answers to these questions and more can be found in the internet publication Cosmic Times, Spiritual News You Can Use, a bi-monthly channel transmission from Ellen Kaufman Dossick. Since 1994, the Cosmic Times has offered detailed information about what is happening energetically in our cosmos and how we can best support the emerging consciousness within ourselves and our world. Many people feel like the Cosmic Times keeps them sane in a seemingly crazy world, lifts their vibrations, and supports their continuing growth and expansion. You can subscribe to the Cosmic Times by going to the website www.soulmemorydiscovery.com. Join the thousands who benefit from the wisdom and insights in the Cosmic Times and receive spiritual news you can use. www.soulmemorydiscovery.com.
Information, entertainment, worldwide. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, we're back. It's Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, along with Rabbi Ellie Spitz, along with Rabbi Jack Reamer, the co-author of Duets on Psalms, Drawing New Meaning from Ancient Words. Rabbi Spitz, I just want to briefly touch on this notion that there are people who read the Bible in very different ways. The way you were explaining to us the authorship of the Psalms, sometimes attributed to David, but we know, as modern biblical scholars, we know, and the modern theologians, we know that it's impossible that King David wrote the Psalms because of the references long after he was alive. However, there are people in the Orthodox Jewish world and in the evangelical Christian world who believe word by word the Bible is the dictate of God, or in this case King David, and there's very little discussion about any kind of modern scholarship or history. How do you balance that?
Well, I do it with humility. What I hear is the question is, how can we as modern readers honor the possibility of these ancient words as very ancient and identified in this case with a great king? And as I noted, in the book of Samuel, we do get songs written by David, and clearly that's part of the description of his spirituality and his talent. And so there is a strong possibility that some of the Psalms were indeed written as far back as King David. And yet, what we find with raising our roof, not seeing things in narrow ways, that in other cultures as well, great writings were often identified with kings. I was beginning to study yesterday the book of Proverbs and doing my research and learning that in the ancient world, many of the Proverbs were books of pharaohs or leaders of Sumeria, that's a genre. And likewise, the book of Proverbs is identified with King Solomon. But it doesn't mean it was literally written by him. So back to your question, as a modern reader, what distinguishes a modern reader from a pre-modern reader is the recognition of history, that ideas have a history, and that in looking at the Psalms as they are written, there are words that are, for instance, in Aramaic, a language that only reached Israel during the time of the Babylonian period, long after King David. That's called philology. But even beyond that kind of detailed analysis, as noted previously, the Psalms themselves are often attributed to others than King David, and the historical settings are after King David's life. And so for me, as a religious person, seeing the Psalms as a collection of poems to God in the spirit of King David allow me still to feel their resonance of an immediacy of the personal in connection with the divine, and I don't feel the need to claim that it's King David. One last comment, and that is, well, how do traditional people deal with this tension of a psalm describing the celebration of the building of the temple? And they will say it was due to prophecy, that King David already anticipated the building of the temple and therefore wrote a poem, or he anticipated the exile to Babylonia and wrote a poem. That's a way of choosing to see reality. I tend to see and honor history as real, and in no way does that make it less sublime.
Hmm. Beautiful explanation. Very beautiful, beautiful. So let's talk about you in this book. There is a chapter of Psalms where you talk about the great pain that you experience with the death of a young cousin, and the challenge, perhaps to your faith, but at least the challenge to your sense of equanimity and the great pain that you experience. And you turn to Psalms, or in this case you talk about the possibility of turning to this particular psalm. You don't quote this psalm in this case, but we often say Mina Meitzer Karati, from out of the depths I called to God, and out of divine expansiveness, Merkavya, the God answers me. So we've been talking in general and theoretical terms. Talk to us in very deep personal terms about how Psalms helped or didn't help when you were undergoing a crisis of pain, Rabbi Eli Spitz.
So some Psalms deal directly with pain. And what I find so riveting about Psalms is their honesty. There, a way to think of it as is as a letter to God. And in writing a letter to God, we tend to write from a place of great honesty because God knows us. There's no pretense. A rabbi friend once said to me, I find God wherever there is the most honesty. And that's the nature of these compositions, because God is the audience. And so some of the Psalms, in reference to your question about pain, Psalm 44 is in the middle of feeling shattered, in which a person is suffering and says, God, you disgraced us. Or another example, and these are some of the Psalms that we analyze, Psalm 30, in which a person writes, having been on the cusp of death, and in owning, in honest ways, those extreme emotions that come out of lived experience and saying them to a caring presence, we feel we are not alone. Our great teacher, Rabbi Harold Kushner, will say in reference to the book of Job that when God answers Job out of the whirlwind, Job seems to shift, and he would say, not because of anything that God said, in which God describes the mystery of creation, but that creator could answer Job and be present for Job creates a different way of experiencing injustice and loss. And so back to me and the loss of the nephew. Because I say nephew, he felt like a nephew. He's a cousin's son who died of undiagnosed diabetes. And when I participated in that funeral, there was such pain of a young boy who had died at the age of 9 and could have been saved but for a better medical understanding in the moment. And so in that case, there was a need, one, to call out to God and protest. This is not right. And Psalms gives us words to shout out with a raised fist to God. but also to open our palm and to feel God's presence and to feel God's sadness in our sadness. And we're almost out of time before our break, but I'd like to continue with this because it's such an important topic. Where is God amidst loss?
And we will continue with that with Rabbi Eli Spitz as soon as we return after these messages for our last segment. Rabbi Eli Spitz, co-author with Rabbi Jack Reamer of Duets on Psalms, Drawing a New Meaning from Ancient Words, published by Ben Yehuda Press. We'll be back after these messages to continue about finding out what Rabbi Spitz has to say about where is God in the midst of pain and tragedy. This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. We'll be right back.
Sacred literature and the Bible, God is known by many names. However, which name for God embodies the spiritual wholeness and essence of God? Discover The Real Name of God is a new book by Rabbi Wayne Dossick. He explores and finds the real name of God. Why is that important? Because the name of God unites all religions and is embedded within us. Get The Real Name of God at your favorite bookstore or online at Amazon.com. The ideas in this book can be world-changing. The Real Name of God by Rabbi Wayne Dossick.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Rabbi Dr. Wayne Dossick is the award-winning author of 8 best-selling books. Living Judaism, The Complete Guide to Jewish Belief, Tradition, and Practice is now a classic, used in synagogues, churches, seminaries, and universities throughout the country as the basic introduction to Judaism text, and in homes as the perfect one-volume reference to Jewish faith and observance. 20-Minute Kabbalah, co-written with his wife Ellen Kaufman Dossick, uses Tree of Life mysticism to offer a daily personal spiritual practice that brings you to God, your soul knowing, and your heart's desires. The accompanying audio CD, angelically sung by cantor Kathy Robbins, guides you through all the sweet and holy chants. These and other fine books by Rabbi Dossick, including When Life Hurts and Soul Judaism, are available at Amazon.com. For more information about Indigo Children, visit the website www.soulbysoul.com. And for more information about Kabbalah, visit the website www.20minutekabbalah.com. Let Wayne Dossick's books expand your knowledge and enrich your life.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
This is Spirit Talk Live. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick, along with Rabbi Eli Spitz, a co-author with Rabbi Jack Reamer of Duets on Psalms, Drawing New Meaning from Ancient Words. We're talking about pain and suffering and where is God in all of this. Rabbi Spitz.
So I was beginning to respond a little further to your question, and namely, how and where is God amidst loss? So this 9-year-old close to me dies of undiagnosed diabetes. And I had just had a public conversation with Rabbi Kushner. And Rabbi Kushner's most famous book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, essentially says that God is limited and yet present and caring. And I then spoke to Elie Wiesel. I had the privilege to have him as a teacher and a friend. And I said, how do you understand God? And he said, in midst of loss, and he said, God's a question mark. I, unlike Rabbi Kushner, can't answer what God has chosen or doesn't choose, or to even say that God is limited. I then asked another teacher of yours and mine, Rabbi Dossick, and that was Rabbi Zalman Schachter Shalomi, who says, amidst tragic loss, there are 4 mystical worlds, and that's how I approach a loss, namely the physical, the emotional, the intellectual. And on the intellectual dimension, I can only go as far as Rabbi Kushner, namely that God, that the world operates according to its order. But there's a fourth level, in mystical terms called Atzilut, which is mystery, in which there is a hidden element of purpose and unity that we can get only a glimpse of. And afterwards, I was with Rabbi Kushner again, and I asked him, and he said the following in response to my question, how would you respond to these four worlds? He said, I acknowledge that it's true for me as well, that when my son was dying of an illness, I could not pray to a God that would cause it. And therefore, I honored God as limited. But in this phase of my life, I also honor that fourth level, namely mystery, that there's an element of God's presence and love that permeates, and now I'm adding, that permeates creation, that is also part of loss. So circling back to Psalms, Psalms are honest. That's their power. They're letters to God, often written amidst loss and tragedy and suffering, often raising one's hand to God and saying, you disgraced us, and yet being able to do so in dialogue, being able to speak to God as if God is listening and feeling God's presence. And at the end of the day, to feel God's presence in life is to feel we are not alone, to feel that we're beloved, to feel that our lives matter. And Psalms becomes a model for each of us in how to speak and reach out from that deepest, honest core to a presence that represents the permeating love within creation, God. And so Psalms, for me, are powerful. I fell in love with Psalms in the course of researching and seeing their artistry, but more with the humility of knowing that as different as our lives are in this modern world, the message of the ancients, of seeing God as real and singing out to God, are relevant and moving and uplifting for us as well.
Well, Rabbi Spitz, it's a beautiful, beautiful explanation. And I do not mean to be facile here, but what you have described is what, until the modern age, when we became such great intellects, what you have described, very simply, is faith.
Yeah.
This is emuna. This is faith. And so when we say, minameter karati ya, from the depths I call out to God, God, I can't get up out of bed. I can't get off the floor. I can't get out of the chair. So please help me. Please help me. And the second half of that verse is, in divine expansiveness, in the greatness of God, God answers me and lifts me up. And that's what our ancestors, even our grandparents, would have called faith.
Yes.
And in so many ways, what Psalms say. Psalms cry out to you. You've given many examples here, Psalm 44 particularly, many examples of when we cry out to God and say, how can you do this to us? Hey, we're a mess. Enemies surround us. Even if my father and my mother forsook us. But you, God, are there for us. And I think that that's part of the greatness and the beauty and the wonder of and the awesomeness of Psalms that you and Rabbi Reamer have given over to us.
Yeah, the only piece I would add in that is they are not only an expression of faith, which they are, they are also an expression of our deepest, truest experiences. And that's from which they emerge.
Absolutely correct. And the other brilliance of them is, as going all the way back to Abraham, we can have this kind of dialogue with God. Chalila lecha, shame on you, God. Shall not the God of all of justice do justly? We don't have to handle God with kid gloves. We can get in there and really be in great dialogue with God in order to find our place in the universe.
Absolutely. And at the same time, we can sing out hallelujah,
right,
which
right.
is praise, and be sensitized to seeing beneath the surface of the brokenness of the world and honor the glory that surrounds us as well.
So, Rabbi Spitz, as we're about to leave you because our time is coming to an end, please give us your nechemta, your summary, your comfort about your book, Duets and Psalms, that you two wrote together with Rabbi Jack Reamer, Rabbi Eli Spitz.
So, the nechemta is we do live in a dangerous world. The world has always been a dangerous place. Back to the best known of the Psalms, Psalm 23. God lays for us a table before our enemies, which is to say, the world is dangerous, and yet we have reason to feel God's caring presence and thereby the ability simultaneously to enjoy the gifts of life and to feel that life for each of us is moving toward a better place, which is the end of Psalm 23, that one day we too shall sit in the house of the Lord, and that day is any moment in which we see beyond the immediate danger.
Ashrei Yoshevei Beitecha, happy are those who dwell in God's house, even in the midst of pain and even in the midst of suffering, when we might want to dismiss God, when we might experience existential angst and loneliness. If we stay with God, if we stay connected, if we don't separate, then we can be happy. Yes?
Yeah, that's the message that was, you know, the beginning of the Ashrei, the prayer that is Psalm 145. And that's right, that we have the ability to honor the reality before us, which includes the reality behind what is seen, and that's the ongoing caring presence of the divine.
And we learn that from all the Bible, but particularly from the Book of Psalms, and we're very, very grateful for this book, Duets on Psalms, by Rabbi Eli Spitz and Rabbi Jack Reamer. Rabbi Spitz, thank you. Thank you so much for writing this book, for having the vision to share your vision with all of us, and for thank you so much for being with us today on Spirit Talk Live. We also thank Doc Collins, our extraordinary musician who plays our theme song each and every week, and the good folks at HealthyLife.net, Linda McKenzie, the visionary founder, and Jay Cruz, the incredibly wonderful producer who put us on the air. We were talking during the break. Spirit Talk Live has been with Healthy LifeNet since October of 2009. We've been here a long time, and we are so happy to be part of the HealthyLife.net family, all positive talk radio. So next time, which is very interesting because I just called out Linda McKenzie, our visionary founder. Linda is not only the founder of HealthyLife.net. She's a psychic and a healer and a prolific author, and she's been on the program a number of times with some of her books. She has a brand new book out called Total Mind, Body, Spirit Weight Loss, a program that helps take off and keep off weight using a unique visualization method to help control the four hidden types of stress that can contribute to weight gain. What are those four types of stress? How to lose weight through visualization, how to keep it off. Join us next time. That's, as always, the third Wednesday. It'll be February 21st. Linda McKenzie, Total Mind, Body, Spirit, Weight Loss. Until then, dear friends, be good and do good. Be sweet and be holy. Tune your awareness to oneness consciousness. For in oneness consciousness, you are sourced to strive for the recognition and the reality of one God, one world, one people, the power and the presence of Eden on earth once again. That is why we invite you this month and every month to come on the journey, join in the quest. I'm Rabbi Wayne Dossick. This is Spirit Talk Live. Until next month, Shalom, Salam, Pax.